joining us now. Very happy he could make time for us, and we definitely appreciate his time. Pollster from Auburn University at Montgomery, Dr. David Hughes joins us on the line. Dr. Hughes, how are you this morning?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing well. A lot to talk about here. First off, you had a poll come out very, very recently, widely circulated, that you kind of verifies what we believe, that Alabama is going to go Republican on November 3rd, that Tuberville and Donald Trump are both expected to have big wins.
Yeah. No huge surprise there. One of the reasons that we started polling some Alabama politics is that there's just been an absence of independent polling in the state. Often what you get is released either by candidates who have incentives to release polls that make them look good, or perhaps by third parties who have similar incentives. So simply providing some nonpartisan polling data is a way for us to let voters in the state know what the public's opinion is on elections, but also on salient public policies. So we are happy to get a better sense for how the state is looking coming up to Election Day. And like you said, it's not hugely surprising, but we do see Jones performing a little bit better than what we expect the average Democrat to be performing at in a statewide race in Alabama. Typically, a Democrat running statewide can expect to lose by 20, 24, 26 points. Right now, we've got him down by 12 points, Tommy Tuberville, which is outside of the margin of error for our poll. That's a significant lead, but it's not quite as wide as the lead that we see that Trump has over Joe Biden in Alabama, which is pretty much right on the nose at 20 points.
Now, this is among registered voters. Talk us to us about the methodology there. Why not try likely voters, or would that prove to be difficult? Why are you surveying those registered voters instead?
Right. Well, 2020 is going to be a unique election. It's a little difficult to figure out who's going to participate with the election. When we started this poll, it was September 30th, so there's still more than 4 weeks before the election. People haven't really decided whether they're going to vote using the absentee process that Secretary of State Merrill has made available to them. There's still a pretty decent window open for people to register to vote. So, when we started that poll roughly 5 weeks before the election, my preference was that we look at people who are already registered, but we plan to put out another one a week before the election, which will look at those who are both registered and likely voters. So that should give us a better sense of how things are looking. You're right. When you look at registered voters, you're making a judgment call about who's likely to participate in the election. We expect this year that participation is going to be pretty much off the charts. I would expect this to be a record-breaking year for voter turnout in the U.S. as a whole, but also in Alabama. So as a pollster, you're always trying to make a judgment call of, well, I don't want to poll just anybody. I want to poll a person who's actually going to go and cast a ballot. So at least for a poll 5 weeks out before the election, we decided to look at registered voters, but the poll will have coming out around the 25th or so will be both registered voters and those who indicate that they are either likely to cast a vote or who already have, since, again, this year's unique and people are already voting.
How do you go about, this seems like a very difficult election to poll, that we don't necessarily know what a registered voter is or how to define it. I mean, we know how to define it, but with all the uncertainty of finding registered voters or people that typically were registered voters in the past when you serve, likely voters in the past when you served, that surveyed them this time around, is it gonna be more difficult? Has that changed given the pandemic?
It's hard to say. You can ask folks about their voting history, but this is one of those issues you run into in survey research, is that you don't always get the most forthcoming responses. Quite often when you do a survey and you ask somebody, did you vote in the last election cycle, you might get 80% of people telling you yes, when that's literally not possible, because you can go and check the returns, then you can see that maybe only 55% of registered voters cast the ballot. So you're really relying upon your respondents to give you good data. So when we recruit participants, we go through a two-stage process. We contract with a private research firm who contacts folks who self-identify as registered, and then registered to vote. And then when they get to our survey platform, we ask them again, are you registered to vote? And every once in a while, you will get a few people who get screened out through that process. But that's at least how we approach it. We're always in a state of flux. We want to do things better every time we put something out in the field. We want it to be better than the last one. So it's a constant learning process.
And another, being into kind of the realm of conservative media, that the distrust in polls, but it happens. But a lot of people think that that there's this idea out there that when they are polled, that conservatives or Trump supporters aren't going to respond to a pollster, or that causes, when you see the polls, the numbers to favor Democrat. I mean, do you account for that, or do you think that's more mythology?
Yeah, I don't know that I give that a ton of credence. At least when I poll Alabama voters, people seem enthusiastic to indicate their support for Republican candidates. I don't think they're shy respondents out there. I do think one reason why you might see polls occasionally overemphasizing Democratic strength in an election is that a lot of what we consider to be core Democratic voters are sometimes less likely to participate in elections compared to what we consider core Republican voters. And so that can have an effect. And we saw that in 2016 when, pollsters, overshot the margin of Democratic turnout in the 2016 election. I don't think that's so much of an issue this go around, just because I think turnout is going to be so, widespread across the board. 2008, 2012, those were both really high turnout years. I would expect 2020 to be more akin to 2008 and possibly even higher if the 2018 midterms are any indication. So to that extent, I'm not sure I would expect to see a repeat of what we saw in 2016 when polls indicated that Democratic candidates were performing a little bit better than what they actually did. That being said, national polls for the Clinton-Trump race were pretty close, but that's not how presidents are chosen. Presidents are chosen through 50 state elections and an election in the District of Columbia, and you have to get 270 electoral college votes to win. So, when we think about presidential elections, it's good to think about 51 separate elections where electoral votes are divvied up. But the national polls were actually pretty close, indicating that Clinton should win by a few percentage points, which she did. It was really specific polls in specific states. State polls tend to be a little bit harder. We don't usually have the same resources as huge national pollsters like the New York Times and Siena College and all those groups. We have to be a little bit more innovative in how we poll, because we just simply don't have the cash resources to get those real, gold standard polls that we expect from deep-pocketed firms like that.
I mean, is that the difficulty with the 2016 outcome? It seemed to me that there was a reliance on historical data from 2008, 2012. You have a once-in-a-lifetime candidate like a Barack Obama on the ballot, and you have really high turnout on the Democrat side. You don't necessarily have that for Hillary Clinton, and maybe that's where, it was marginal, but it was enough to really see, you could tell the distinction on Election Day.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And that's where pollsters really made a mistake in 2016, was that they were largely assuming that the kinds of turnout that we saw in 2012 would be akin to what we would see in 2016, which isn't necessarily true. And to circle back to something I said earlier, polling is hard, because we have no great idea about exactly who is going to turn out to vote in a given election. We can ask them, I can ask people, are you a definite voter on November 3rd? And they can say, yeah, I'm a definite voter, but who knows? because we know that people tend to overreport how likely they are to vote a because there is a social expectation that everyone should, you know, perform their civic duty and go out to vote. And so people tend to be reluctant to tell pollsters, no, I'm not going to go vote. I'm not going to do my civic duty. So it's really hard to figure out exactly, you know, what's the magic sauce to figure out who's going to vote and at what rates and where, especially in an election like this one where the rules seem to be changing on a daily basis about, you know, drop-off boxes for ballots or early voting in precinct locations and absentee ballot voting. Everything seems to be in a state of flux, which only makes polling harder.
I'm joined by Dr. David Hughes from Auburn University at Montgomery, political science professor, a pollster, too. Dr. Hughes, I want to visit something you talked about Friday night on our Friday night broadcast, I should say, of Auburn Public Television's Capital Journal. You said you found in one of your surveys, and I assume it's not this recent one, that three-quarters of your respondents were in favor of a mask mandate. Can you talk about that, first of all, which when you took that survey, but really, do you think it holds up right now?
It was the same survey. That's the survey that we fielded September 30th to October 3rd. We included a battery of questions on a number of salient public policy issues. And for that question, we asked people simply, do you approve or disapprove of the governor's mask mandate? And we found that 76% of Alabamians said that they approved. So we don't see a huge contingency of people opposing the governor's mask mandate. I mean, you know, 24% is nothing to sneeze at. That's a decent block of voters who don't approve of the governor's mask mandate. But when discourse is often driven by, you know, comments on social media, I think there's a tendency to overemphasize the loudest voices. And that's kind of what we've seen with respect to these mask mandates is there's a corner of the electorate who's very upset about the mask mandates. But they are a relatively small corner, and we're finding that they're only about a quarter of Alabamians.
Well, that's because this audience especially is stunned by those numbers. It seemed more widespread, but I'm perhaps it's just a product of being in this bubble. That, you know, did you just ask the question in a way that was like, state your position, or was it caveated in any way when you took the survey?
No, it's pretty straightforward. I don't have the question pulled up in front of me right this very second, but it was a very generic question of, you know, do you approve of Governor Kay Ivey's recent mandate that individuals wear masks in public places? And people could say, I strongly approve, I somewhat approve, I somewhat disapprove, I strongly disapprove. So, you know, when you write questions like this, you don't want to lead your audience, you don't want to poison the well, you don't want to prime them for one response or another. So, and generally speaking, it's best to write these things as generically as possible.
And you found that even without the mandate, that people were pretty much in support of a mask, or they would continue to wear a mask
We also asked if they would just simply voluntarily wear the mask, and even more Alabamians said that they would voluntarily wear masks throughout the year should the pandemic necessitate such behavior. And so there was even more support for voluntary mask wearing compared to the governor's executive order.
And we're running a little short on time here, but last question about, I saw on social media that you're going to have you also threw in a question about the governor's prison proposal. You found it's not as popular as maybe they would hope. When are you going, do you think you're going to release those findings?
It's in the hands of the university. I've already transmitted the data. They have told me that the results will come out today, but I can tell you that we polled seven different prison reform proposals, and the one most akin to Governor Ivey's proposal, which involves leasing prisons from private contractors, polled dead last. It was very unpopular. It was opposed by roughly 85% of respondents.
Dr. Hughes, folks want to find you on social media, or they want to check out your work. Can you tell them where to go?
If they want to check out my work, they can go to my webpage. It's DavidHughesPhD.com. where I've got my research and some other stuff related to my professional portfolio. And I'd be very grateful for anybody who wanted to follow up there.
Dr. Hughes, thank you for making time for us this morning.
I sure do appreciate it. Thank you.
That was Dr. David Hughes from Auburn University at Montgomery.